The governor's office is at stake.
If my opponent would like to have a bigger impact, he should be running for the legislature.
I've committed not to increase taxes while I'm governor.
The Utah primary, special coverage on The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Great to have you along on The Doug Wright Show here at KSL News Radio. There's so many important things to talk about today. We'll be talking with some of the other players who are actively on the ballots today in the primary elections and so on. I'll personally deliver my ballot to Sherry Swenson over at the county complex. I'll fill it out here on the air, keeping, of course, my votes to myself. But then we're going to hop in the getaway car, and I'm going to go over and we're going to personally drop it off, just like you can do. I wanted to underscore that even if you didn't get it in the mail on time, you can still vote today. I read a great article this morning, and it was in the National Review. It's The Incredible Shirking Congress. I would highly, highly recommend this article to you. It's authored by our junior senator, Mike Lee. And I thought this was such an interesting line. He was talking about the different powers and how they are laid out in the Constitution, and how the first one, Article 1, spells out the powers of Congress and how powerful Congress is intended to be, was intended to be by the founding fathers. And I love this. If any part of the federal government is broken, Congress's fair share of the blame is almost all of it. Senator Mike Lee joins us on the line today. Mike, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much, Doug. Good to be with you all, as always.
I was impressed by the article. I truly was. It made me think about a lot of things. And when you talked in this article, the political risks of governance often just, well, the risks aren't worth it. The easier course for Congress is not to do that work well, but to get out of doing it at all. And then you lay out three things where Congress has really let the American people down. Let's talk about the motivation behind this article, and maybe you could flesh that thought out just a little bit. The political risks. You know, as I read your article, I thought, man, what happened to the profiles in Courage?
Right, right, exactly. So Congress has found that it's much more difficult to do the job of actually legislating. And as a result of that, it's easier to delegate that power to somebody else by making generous use of the delegation process and of a law called the Administrative Procedure Act. What we do in many, many instances is just empower executive branch agencies to come up with their own laws, to write their own laws, under all kinds of things. And, you know, many laws that, like the Clean Air Act, for example, that have very good, laudable objectives and that have been successful in accomplishing much of what they were set out to do, still legislate the wrong way in that they don't legislate through Congress. And as a result, you have members of Congress who can escape any accountability that comes from those things. So if a new EPA regulation comes out that's harming people, people come and complain to their members of Congress. Members of Congress who may have voted for the Clean Air Act say, I just voted for the act. I didn't vote for this regulation. And this is compounded dramatically over the last 80 years to the point where, you know, in the last few years, you've seen Congress passing measures like Dodd-Frank and like the Affordable Care Act that each contained many hundreds of instances of delegated legislative power.
When you talked about the delegated legislative power, this is step one of the three that I alluded to. I love the way you put it. Congress passes vague bills that declare gauzy aspirations, say clean air, higher educational standards, and so on, while leaving the specifics to be filled in later by executive agencies. And it does. It gives the duck and roll cover when somebody has to go back in their district and actually answer for something.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And as a result, you'll see Congress passing a few hundred pages of legislation a year, but you'll see executive agencies issuing about 80,000 pages of new regulations a year, even though many of the regulations are legally binding in the same way as a federal statute would be. Nobody is accountable for those. Now, the hardworking men and women who work in these executive branch agencies and who make these regulations, they're good people who love their country. They're generally well-educated and highly specialized, and they do work hard at their job. The problem is they're not elected. They're yeah. not really even accountable to anyone who is elected.
Well, that's what bothered me so much. You know, as I was raised, I was always led to believe that the laws are made by Congress and it's by design that it goes through the two houses. There is the one that is maybe a little more raucous. There's the one that's maybe a little bit more thoughtful. They're going to be in office for a little bit longer. It goes through this refiner's process. It goes through the various refiner's fires. People have to get up publicly to debate. They are on record for where they stand on something. Hopefully, there is a compromise that comes about so it best fits the entire American populace. And basically, everybody's on the record and has to answer for what they did back home. And it's just not that way anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It becomes a big problem. And it's in some ways reminiscent of what happened in the EU over the weekend with the United Kingdom deciding to pull away from the European Union. Look, there are no doubt that there are differences between our situation and what they've faced. But there are some similarities, too. The people in the United Kingdom saw that they were subject to a distant central power that was becoming increasingly bureaucratic and that was undemocratic. It was not responsive to the people through elections. That's why they chose a different path. Now, fortunately, we're not part of anything like that. This wouldn't require such a big step on our part. All it would require on our part to restore the proper nature of the legislative process is to follow our own constitution. It's one of the reasons why I focus a large portion of my book, Our Lost Constitution, which came out on paperback today, to this very topic, to help Americans understand how they can restore constitutionally limited government and the legislative process moving through Congress.
You talk in this article how we have surrendered, we, Congress, we the people, through our representatives, have surrendered authority on federal spending. I can't tell you, Mike, how many times I've sat here on the air and said, well, you know, we the people, through our elected representatives, we can control what the president does by the purse strings, and we've even let go of that. And then you mention in step three, we delegate constitutional oversight to the judicial, and you give some great examples. We can't talk about all of this here and now, but this was a real eye-opener. I appreciated the way it was laid out, and I this is what just killed me, though, where you said today's Congress basically wants to be weak, and we refuse to even consider fixing some of these big problems, and we've talked about some of them already, for fear of the political consequences. When did Congress, you mentioned 80 years, when did this start? When did we become such wimps?
You know, it started, meaning that the modern federal administrative system started about 80 years ago during the New Deal era. But to call it a product of democratic innovation would be dishonest, because you've had Republicans and Democrats in every conceivable partisan combination occupying parts of Congress, all of Congress, the White House, various combinations of them. Democrats and Republicans have contributed to this problem over the years. So even though it started in the 1930s, somewhere along the way, somewhere starting 40, 50 years ago, to some extent 60 years ago, it became a lot more common for members of Congress to start to see the real political benefits of doing it this way. The political benefits here arise in a way that are detriments to everyone else. Mm-hmm. It harms everyone else because everyone else has their vote diluted. Everyone else becomes subject to an unaccountable government, a government of bureaucrats who will never stand for election.
Yeah. Senator Mike Lee on the line with us. We're almost out of time. Toward the end of the article, you talked about, and the American people know that they're not in charge of their government anymore. We see that, and it has led us to, and I think I'm quoting fairly accurately, so if we must have a Caesar in the White House, let it at least be a Caesar, him or her, of our, you know, our Caesar rather than their Caesar. Is that what has led us to the Donald Trump and the Hillary Clinton choice that is almost unfathomable to most Americans?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a phenomenon that has been long in the making. But yeah, I think we have, as a country, surrendered the idea of constitutional government to the point that we look for our Caesar, a Caesar who maybe will be a little heavy-handed with the executive orders, but at least he or she will be doing our bidding. And I think that's dangerous. I think we need to have people in both parties who are every bit as critical of unconstitutional usurpations of power when those usurpations come from our own party as we are when they come from another party.
Boy, I appreciate you saying that because I sense, Mitt Romney has said this too, when other nations have gone down some of these darker paths and abdicating authorities, it has not ended well. I do sense that we are in a dangerous situation. I've never been so honestly distraught. I like the way you put it, you know, that Donald Trump scares you to death, but Hillary Clinton scares you to death maybe even a little bit more, which leads me to a question. And honestly, Senator Lee, I'm not here to, you know, try to nail you down or anything. I recognize the precarious situation and how tough this is. You know, the devil we know, the devil we don't know. I've heard so many different descriptors of the choice that we have this year. But you are, and I think Mia Love, you two are the only ones that have not indicated that you would vote for Donald Trump nor offered an endorsement. Where is this going to go for you personally? I can only imagine some of the pressures on you.
Yeah, I wish I could give you a simple answer. What I can tell you is that I have not endorsed him. I have hoped all along to be able to find a presidential candidate I could support who would, you know, stand strongly behind the Constitution, in particular, stand strongly behind federalism and separation of powers, the idea that we're supposed to govern locally, except where the Constitution makes an issue national, and the idea that within the federal government we need to keep each branch within its own lane. And so far, I haven't found that candidate to be either of our major party front runners. Perhaps that can change at some point, but I'm not there yet.
By the way, the other night I was watching a movie called Genius, and I saw you and others, and didn't want to, you know, impose on a night out. But how did you like the movie? This is the one that is about Max Perkins and Thomas Wolfe and some of the genius writers of the 1920s and 30s. So, what's your review of the movie?
Well, first of all, I thought it was fantastic. Secondly, I wish you had said hello. I didn't see you there. I think that's great. Well, I went to that movie with my wife and our two sons, and really enjoyed it. It was a good movie. It was clean. It was a good plot and an outstanding script. I wish there were more movies like that.
Boy, no kidding. I thoroughly enjoyed it too, Mike. I appreciate you joining us. Good luck and thank you for the great article. What's the title of your book again? I need to pick it up.
Yeah, the title of the book is Our Lost Constitution, and it just was released in paperback today.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
Senator Mike Lee with us here at KSL News Radio. Now, coming up, we've got a lot of territory to cover. One of our goals today was to talk to those that are engaged in some of the higher profile primaries today, and we'll be talking with Jonathan Swinton, who is a Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate. As a matter of fact, if he is successful, he will be running against Mike Lee. That's coming up next here at KSL News Radio.